This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Tuesday, I believe it's September 21st.
Almost. It's soon. Soon enough.
No, it's the 22nd.
It is the 22nd. Well,
tomorrow's the first day of fall. This is the last day of summer. Yeah. Last day of summer, Liz.
Yep.
In-depth coverage every week here on the Undercard with Liz the Ring Girl.
It feels like summer anyways.
You think so?
Still.
It's
no,
chilly
it
out
like
now.
Fall.
No,
yeah,
it does not.
It's getting chilly out.
Mm-hmm. What are we officially episode then? 157?
157.
All right.
157. Dang.
So we are joined by special guest host there, Anthony Barnes.
You can't call him a special.
Yeah, he's not anymore.
You can't call him a special guest anymore.
He's been here so many times. He's just
actually. If any, we should probably call him a correspondent.
Yeah,
I think.
There you go.
We're going to start calling you a correspondent.
My name needs to be at the end of the intro.
Let's do that.
Yeah, I'm not redoing the whole intro just for you. You know what? I'll just splice it in like we did with that other guy.
It doesn't have to sound good.
It'll be the whole thing. The whole Brad, Marv, and Jimmy, and Anthony Barnes.
I don't think Marv has a lot to lose by adding Anthony to the intro.
Yeah, I just added you on Snapchat.
So that's true. Well, once I start getting some interesting snaps, we'll see what happens.
Now, I have a lot to lose because until Anthony has joined the team, I was the best looking out of us three. But now.
Most delusional.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I knew you had mental problems,
Is it pretty in the world that you live in, Brad?
I reject
it's
your
beautiful.
Reality and substitute my own.
That's right.
we're going to pick Anthony's mind here about HBO boxing this weekend. To boxing fans, they're probably interested in it, but to a casual boxing fan, maybe Klitschko, Fury.
I'm going to what? What is he talking about?
No.
You haven't figured out Brad. Like, sometimes things happen in Brad's world only.
Oh.
Brad has entire conversations in his head that doesn't exist in the real world, and he expects everyone to know the conversation that has just happened in his head.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
At least he admits
there's
it.
No comeback.
I'm like seven
no,
steps
it's true,
ahead
yeah.
sometimes. But no, we love having Anthony, as we always have him here. Liz the Ring Girl's here. Rochelle's learning the board. And then we had a nickname for our board person, a really cool nickname. I forget.
We did?
It wasn't that cool then.
I don't remember.
I can't remember. Again, this was a conversation you had in your head.
I can't remember it, though.
We had a nickname?
Yeah.
He told himself this.
I think you dreamt that, Brad.
I could have.
What? Have you started any new medications?
No, I've been watching Gotham, though, and I'm not impressed.
Again, no accounting for taste.
Yeah. I don't
just
know.
Saying.
Not a huge fan of Gotham.
Well, you know what? We're actually going to get into... let's call it a heated discussion later when we discuss the movie thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's save that for the movie because we could go on and on about Gotham. So.
But we're gonna try to track down our first guest caller, because it was supposed to be at the 7 o'clock hour. But we will see if we can find her first and then introduce her. Jimmy's got the
engaging
correct punctuation.
You mean pronunciation?
Yeah.
I think it's pronounced Maureen Babyface Riordan.
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 Yeah.
Yeah, we'll call her up.
Beep, boop, 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 boop. Voicemail. 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 Don't you cut it off if it's voicemail. Ring, ring, ring. Don't cut it off. Don't cut it off. Wait. Wait. Seriously,
there might not be a voicemail.
Hi, you've reached Maureen. Sorry I missed you. Leave me your name, number, and a message, and I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Maureen, I went to his house and got the stuff, and now he's chasing me. Where should I meet you?
There you go, Mark.
I kept it clean this time.
Yeah, you did. Thank you.
Well, see, that's why I was bringing up the Klitschko-Tyson Fury fight.
Are we trying again?
No.
Oh, okay.
That was an accident.
Oh, okay.
Because she's calling for pizza. Rochelle had difficulties getting a hold of our first guest anyway. So, but in the world of boxing, this should be a pretty big event because Klitschko is going against somebody that is actually bigger than him. Maybe his greatest threat in some
like
time.
Like size-wise?
Yeah,
like
I mean, okay. From Klitschko's big at 6'6". He's listed, and Tyson Fury's supposed to stand 6'9".
I was going
to
say, okay. Klitschko's 6'6". Is he fighting a Sasquatch?
Klitschko has a reach of 81.
It's a Wookiee.
Yeah, I know.
Klitschko has a reach of 81, and then Tyson Fury a reach of 85.
Ooh, damn.
Probably Povetkin was his last guy that somebody thought that Klitschko might have difficulty with. Because Povetkin's such a small fighter, Klitschko leaned on him, held him, and, and wins.
Tyson Fury, it seems bigger than 6'9". Yeah. I was shadowboxing in the ring with him, and I was just like, oh, wow.
Really? Well, was it like a Sasquatch?
It was bigger than a Sasquatch.
Really?
I would imagine.
Wow. I'm so excited for this fight because, like, I don't know. I just – with Klitschko, you think one day it's going to catch up with him. I don't think he can hold Tyson Fury.
You mean hold him as in, like, physically hold
– Yeah,
him.
Like he was Povetkin and just he kind of leans. He kind of gets when things aren't going right or somebody gets inside, he kind of holds him, waits for the ref to break it
clinch. Kind of clinch it up, yeah. I mean, different
No. I think the Povetkin thing was just downright holding and just smothering Povetkin.
Okay, gotcha.
So, but I'm very excited for this fight because Tyson Fury, Klitschko's going to have to beat him with his fist. And
isn't that what a boxer's supposed to do?
I tell you what, against Povetkin... That's not what he did.
I understand that, but in theory.
He's had some at least one knockout since then that I watched. But like at the same time, it's like Anthony was talking about, you know, being in the ring with Tyson Fury. Yeah. He's a big guy.
Huge.
And Klitschko is going to have to be the Klitschko of old to beat Tyson Fury, even though Tyson Fury maybe has a questionable jaw. Maybe it has been rushed up a little bit.
Okay.
So
how do you see this going down?
I'm not picking until Saturday because I still don't know.
Okay.
Like, I'm still trying to see that. I mean, Anthony, what do you think? You know both guys.
Okay.
Being around Emmanuel.
all right. So Tyson Fury's huge.
Right.
Like he's bigger than like you would even imagine. He's a monster. Klitschko's big, but he's like. He's just a big guy, you know, but like Tyson Fury's massive.
Bigger.
I can't even explain it. I think Klitschko's a better boxer, like smarter, but I think Tyson Fury's more like athletic almost. You know what I mean? Like he just does like different movements and stuff, and I think Klitschko's more robotic. But Tyson does have a questionable chin.
Very. He's gone down.
So how do you see it?
By Steve Cunningham.
Yeah, exactly. He's USS like, Steve Cunningham.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a cruiserweight, realistically. So yeah.
So how do you see it going down?
Either someone's going to get knocked out.
Okay.
That's
one or the other.
And if not, I think it's going to be a really boring fight.
Okay.
But I don't see it going the distance.
Now, do you think Klitschko is going to try to keep away from Tyson because he can't hold him? Or do you think he's going to try to get in there?
He can hold him if you think about it. Like... You get in the inside, and you hold him on the inside.
Okay.
I mean, he's a smaller guy, so
right.
You get in the inside and stay in there. Gets in trouble, hold him.
And Klitschko, I think Klitschko's power is still there. They say the power is the last thing to go. He's 39 years old, at least. That's the old wise tale. It's that power is the last thing to go. So, you know, if Tyson Fury is banging and isn't smart, I can see Klitschko maybe knocking him out. It's really what Tyson Fury... is bringing to this. He's obviously at the press conferences has voiced that he believes that he's going to win against Klitschko. And, I mean, they all do. But, I mean, there's a little bit of showmanship there by Tyson Fury.
He's a good trash talker.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he gave everybody what they want. And the problem that I have with boxing in America is that here Tyson Fury at 24-0 undefeated and huge going against Klitschko, no one's talking about it in the States, and that's unfortunate. In Europe, it's huge news. Yeah. I read over there. And, you know, Floyd Mayweather kind of has – you know, his numbers were horrible. We'll talk about that a little bit. I mean, those were bad pay-per-view numbers. Like, he should have went on CBS.
Yeah.
And, like, Showtime CBS had to get, like, no offense, they were raped.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, they lost money.
Oh,
because
yeah.
if his guaranteed payout was $37
million,
they didn't make that.
No.
So, you know, now you're looking at his monumental take with Manny Pacquiao, his monumental take with Canelo Alvarez. You have to think if maybe Showtime now had just broke even.
Yeah.
Because that fight against Berto was so badly.
I fell asleep in the ninth round, to be honest.
Right. It was that bad.
Yeah.
It was a bad boxing
and
match.
Honestly, like, I wasn't going to watch it, but a friend bought it, and he's like, hey, come over to the house. And I was like, ah.
All right.
He's like, I already bought it. I was like, ah. All right, fine. All right, I guess.
Fine. And he rides off in the sunset, and no one's talking boxing right now. Mm. And, you know, you got to search for it. And so I look at ESPN, what they throw over, because they're mass media, and I look at what Yahoo Sports puts forward. And, you know, Freddie Roach had some great comments, but, you know, the Cotto Canelo fight is going to be more popular outside the States, even though it's fought in the States, just because of where Canelo comes from and Cotto comes from. And so, you know, boxing, we got to get it back going. We got to talk about it. We're going to pledge on the undercard. We're going to continue to talk about it. And so we're going to give Klitschko, Tyson Fury, a little bit of love here, because, I mean, he is, even though Deontay Wilder holds the WBC belt, Klitschko, in most people's mind, is the heavyweight champion of the world.
Yes.
And so, can Tyson Fury do it? I mean, Barnes, I don't know. I think you sidetracked it because you know kind of. Well, I mean, are you going to pick? You don't have to. We're not going to force you.
I don't know. I can't.
How bad do you want that intro?
Yeah, ooh, okay.
You want to be a consultant on this show.
I'm going to say Tyson Fury wins.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Okay.
Sure. I mean, nice.
He's like, sure.
What the hell? I don't know. Looking for an upset, I guess. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I mean,
don't worry. If it doesn't go that way, we'll just edit it.
Right, yeah.
And then we'll get you saying right. Klitschko.
So now what we need you to say is that Klitschko's going to win. No.
My good buddy Jonathan Bakes trains, Klitschko. So I got to.
Yeah. So talking about Fury's size, I found this picture of him.
He's aggressive. He's
just,
and he's big.
Well,
he's
huge. Like this picture, he's fighting Steve Cunningham in 2013. It looks like a bad Photoshop job.
Yeah.
Because you know what Fury is exponentially bigger.
You know what
Cunningham, and it doesn't look real.
He went down in that fight.
But I'm just talking about based on his size. Like, it looks like a bad Photoshop.
Well, no, actually, it looks like it's forced perspective.
That's
like
what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Like they do in like the Hobbit movies to make the guys look smaller by bringing the other person to the forefront. Yeah,
that's what exactly it looks like. They grabbed a picture of Fury that was bigger in aspect than Cunningham. So whatever.
Yeah.
He's a big dude, bottom line.
He's a huge dude.
Do you think
but afraid of spiders.
That Tyson Fury's ready for this fight? I mean, you can't wait around for Klitschko forever. He's 39, so he might leave. So you got to take it when it's there. But with me, it's kind of just weird. In a perfect world, maybe two more fights under his belt.
Sure.
You know?
I don't know. I mean, I think he's learned a lot, especially getting dropped by Cunningham. I think something like that someone learns from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I think he's as ready as he ever is going to be. So, I mean, as of right now. So
yeah. And with Klitschko, because we know people that work in his camp and stuff like it, his camps are very different. He's a very high profile athlete over there, and he gets the job done though when it comes down to it. And so that's why I hate to even think about picking against Klitschko, and on Saturday we'll put it on our Facebook. But at the same time, 39 years old, against a guy who could possibly maybe manhandle him a little bit in the ring, maybe it's time to pick against. I don't know.
You see, well, I'm a little bit sour just because a couple months ago I got an email from the camp manager saying, would you like to come to Klitschko's camp? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. What would I be used for? No idea. But I'm nowhere near 6'9".
Yeah, you're chasing so, Perry's side.
Somebody needs to bring him water.
And, right. Right. They're like, you know, yeah. So
hold
like,
his junk while he pees. I mean, that's tough, people.
Right. Like, what do? Like, bring him his food, you know? Like, so, but they wanted me there, I guess, like they said, for speed and stuff like that. They always have smaller people there. So mm-hmm. I said, absolutely. And they hit me up a couple times again just to follow up. And then they never followed up with that final, like, hey, your plane ticket's here, you know? So, I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. I mean, it's kind of public knowledge that my wrist is messed up, so
I was going to say,
trainer,
were
Jonathan
you,
Banks.
Right now, you know, somebody's in an office right now going, shit, we forgot to send Barnes' tickets!
You know? Yeah, so, I mean, yes, I'm injured, but at the same time, I'm still kind of upset. They didn't get a follow-up, you know?
Exactly. And you know Tyson Fury, very close, and he's
not
been around.
Super close, but I know him enough. You
right.
Know? That's actually Andy Lee's cousin.
Right.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I mean, Ireland's a small island.
Yeah.
So, but still, not that small. No, we'll try it again in a second, probably after the break.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just tell everybody on the air. Production notes over the air. that's the way we do it. You know, his age, 26, he's starting to get in your prime in boxing. You know, I don't know. It seems like, you know, maybe it's the time. I don't know, man. Maybe I'm talking myself into it. And that's always dangerous to pick that way when you talk yourself into it. You know, I don't know. You know, is it time? Is
it'd
it time?
Exciting.
Klitschko Donen.
It'd be exciting.
Exactly. I don't think we'll be able to see anybody come close to challenging Klitschko. So this is it. Does he walk away if he beats Tyson Fury, or are you still going to stick around and make the big paychecks?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he could take another fight with Wilder and get the WBC, the belt he doesn't have.
I don't think he'll give Wilder a chance. I just personally, I don't know why. And it's not because Wilder, to tell you the truth, I think at this stage in both career, Tyson Fury is a better fighter than Wilder. So I think he's fought people with a little bit more talent. So the much more dangerous fight. I just don't know why. I don't think he'll. But yeah, he never got the WBC belt his brother always had.
Yes.
So he's not going to fight his brother. I don't know why, because in my family, fighting brothers was cool. And so, like, you know, maybe that green belt, we always talk about that. That's the belt I would want.
That's
you
the
know?
Belt, yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying if you had an IBF belt, I wouldn't want you to bring it in every time or something
right,
like that.
Sure.
But that WBC belt, that
something
green
about
belt,
it, something about it.
You're right. Yeah. That's the one that
I
is,
had. I had Adonis's in my hand. And I was just like, yeah, this is the one. Like,
that's
I
the
need
cool
this.
One. Yeah. Right. So maybe they're shoring up something that will be. Maybe that's his go away fight. I do think he wants to be successful in the States one more time, even though he came over and he's just. For some reason, I don't know why. It's a global soccer, same problem in which we don't follow, you know, European soccer so much. And Marvel say we don't follow soccer at all. But
mostly.
You know, because they fight in these huge O2 arenas and stuff like that over in Europe, it just doesn't catch on. So much to the fact that, you know, HBO covers it and then replays it later in the night sometimes. But it just doesn't catch on, which it. You know, Klitschko hasn't been able to do that in a while.
Who's Tyson Fury's promoter? Do you know?
No, I don't know on that.
I don't know either. But I know Klitschko is K2, so you have like a European-based promoter. You know, they're not going to put all their money over here. So.
Right. We haven't talked to you since the Floyd Mayweather fight. You said you fell asleep.
I fell asleep.
bad day for boxing. It was a boring fight.
Horrible. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. Just like the other one. Even though I was hoping for Pacquiao to win. But, of course, it's going to be boring. And I think Floyd's actually hurting the sport more than anything.
Now, is he done?
Mm.
Or is he going to come back to get the new MGM Grand Arena?
I hope
Thank
so.
You.
I think he needs to be done.
On my side.
I think he needs to be done. And because we don't need to make boxing like people. Right now, if you go ask the dude walking down the street, he's going to be like, I saw the Floyd fight, and it was horrible.
Right, because it's boxing, if you think that Berto versus Floyd Mayweather is a good fight or was like anywhere close to a good fight, you don't watch enough boxing.
It's absolutely not.
Berto was everything we thought he would be. Too slow, too
the last Canelo fight when he fought Kirkland. Like, mm-hmm. people should watch that. That was
great.
Awesome.
And we watched that at Jimmy's house, and Canelo, Kirkland, here's a guy that Kirkland's going to throw him to, and Canelo. So we got to move on to this next subject. It's rumored that Freddie Roach is going to bet his two houses, now whether he does it or not, that Cotto will beat Canelo.
Really?
Now, here's the thing about Freddie Roach. He's really bad at betting. He really is. I'm not even joking about that. He's been on record of saying crazy stuff, and I think he said something crazy for the Mayweather fight.
Wow.
Where, like,
shouldn't someone call him, like, a friend and be like, don't do that?
Well, no, I think he does it for his boxer's confidence, but at the same time,
that's your home.
Who's he gonna? But wait, who's the bet against? Like, he's betting his two houses.
I don't
like
that. I don't know.
Okay,
it was in BoxingInsider.com, I believe. So they're reliable.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is, like, is it a friend? Like, I'm betting my two houses, and then, like, you know, when he actually doesn't win, his friend's like, "Eh, whatever. I'll let you live there for free. I still own your houses." But
if it is a true rumor, because I didn't see video of him saying it, but it comes from a reliable source,
okay.
We should find two people with houses and then put their houses against his two houses. Because I do think Canelo right now, if I was to pick, I think he has the edge. He's just younger, and now he's hitting that peak where. He's been fighting since 16. I mean, he looks good.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
We know you think that.
And
Rochelle.
I'm still waiting for.
I went against him though. Rochelle, she was upset, but I went against him last time.
You can't
time.
Go against Canelo in
I
her
know,
world.
I know.
Well, who won that fight?
I said he was going to win that fight.
No.
You were talking about the Cotto fight.
Canelo.
Yeah, Canelo and Cotto. We were talking about that.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you said
Cotto. That's right.
But no.
I did. Just to make you upset though.
No.
And that's will be essentially the fight of the year because I do believe those guys will bang
we need
it.
To find another billboard.
And when I say
kitchen.
Fight of the year, by the way, refrain it here. The fight of the year was who were the two fighters on the undercard of the Floyd Mayweather fight that just banged? There's always good fights of people, but I'm saying when a promotion comes together and you have two fighters and the fighter lives up to the hype, maybe a Hagler in Hearns, stuff like that. That's what I mean, that the hype actually lives up to something. Because the fight of the year is normally typically an undercard fight that most people don't watch, where like people, you know, almost die and they give it their all.
Right.
Undercard on the Pacquiao fight, they were good fights.
I don't remember the undercard of the Pacquiao fight. I'd have to remember that. But also in the same article, Freddie Roach says that if Manny Pacquiao doesn't look good in the first fight of next year, he has two more fights with Top Rank, that he would actually fire Manny Pacquiao or quit on Manny Pacquiao, which I also think is their friendship, I think, you know, is too strong. I think he's saying that to motivate Pacquiao, this thing about Pacquiao. Barnes talked about his injury and he's going through physical therapy, but supposedly Pacquiao went into some ocean and came out and the shoulder's good. People are concerned about it all the way from Bob Arum down.
I need to find that ocean.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Freddie Roach is scared that he has lost a step and he doesn't want to see someone get injured. Obviously Freddie Roach, Parkinson's probably came from boxing and, he doesn't want to see somebody get hurt. And so maybe as a friend, he's just saying, I'm going to quit. But most people expect Manny Pacquiao to fight twice next year and be done because then his contract with Top Rank is up and they don't expect him to renew. And there's no reason to. There's nothing to prove. But the talks between Pacquiao and Khan, it looks like it's maybe slowed down a little bit. Have you heard anything, Barnes, anymore? Like last week it was the hot subject and then now it's not talked about again. Who do you like early in that? I mean, appealing. If Pacquiao has his speed, Khan's a lot faster still.
Oh, if Pacquiao's 100%, then Pacquiao.
Because of Khan's chin, although Pacquiao might have a chin too. But Khan's chin, I don't know. I'd give advantage chin to Pacquiao.
Yeah, exactly.
But Pacquiao's not knocked out somebody in a while too, so it's like...
It's true, but American teams get knocked down quite often
when
he fights. So I don't think that's really a... I think it'll make it more like a fun fight to watch. He might not necessarily get stopped, but
so Amir Khan has this love in Europe, and Pacquiao's a global superstar. Once again, it might be a fight that America doesn't grip on, but it should be a pretty big boxing fight. But then part of me just wants to see Pacquiao like not get hurt anymore, and I don't think Amir Khan would hurt him. But you know, maybe Manny Pacquiao, it's time to walk away because he has so much going on. You know. We think we have a lot going on, and then we see what Manny Pacquiao does, and that guy's got a lot going on.
The new era of fighters, it's their time to start stepping up.
All right.
That's what I think.
So throw out some names of people that people might not know that you like out there that have caught your eyes as a pro boxer.
Okay. Well, I definitely want to throw out Tony Harris. Harrison. He's still Mr. Detroit, regardless of his last fight. He's fun to watch. Dominique Dalton, Eric De Leon, everyone from the city. And then we're actually making like really good like strides of being like, you know, top contenders, like really fast too. I don't know. I mean, there's quite a few fighters out there right now. Like Jesse Hart's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I know he had a hard fight against Aaron Pryor Jr. I mean, that probably wasn't his best performance, but I mean, there's tons of fighters out right now. I mean, I can't even think of them all.
Right. And Tony Harrison, he coming off a loss, we're going to be looking to see how he does. But I've seen his work ethic in a gym. You know his work ethic. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't believe that that's going to be his story, you know? Like, he's going to come back
from it. He's just going to learn from it. That's it. Honestly, and I've seen him box since then. He looks tremendous.
Is he fighting at the right weight?
Yeah, I think he's still fighting at the right weight. I mean, he could probably go down if he wanted to. But he's fine. I think just rehydration is something you have to work on, and that's about it.
I know you got that secret recipe that no one's going to touch. And then when you retire, you can put it on Amazon.com and sell it as a book.
A few fighters have it. I don't want to throw it out there who actually does it, but a few of us have it.
So typically, fight week, really quickly, for people that don't know Anthony Barnes, what on a Monday are you weighing at?
Oh,
Monday before fight. Say Saturday fight night.
70, I don't know. Monday, I would say about 79.
Okay.
179, fight at 168, so I have 11 pounds.
All right. And then, so you lose the 11 by Friday?
Yes. And so if I fight Friday, Thursday's the day I lose my weight.
Okay.
You know, so. But
Thursday's the day.
The day. Like it's the day where I'm miserable.
It's tough. Marv's trying to figure out.
I was like, speaking as a fat dude, how does one drop 11 pounds?
No, that's the secret. We don't want to get the secret
Thursday.
Out. No, we don't want the secret.
No, like, seriously, like a
dropping
day?
Dropping the weight is very simple. I mean, like.
Screw you. No, it's not.
No, that's your travel day. That's the day where you're on the plane, you're doing this, doing that. You wake up.
You're
take your vitamins, and then you don't eat for 2 days, and don't drink anything until you weigh in. Mm. It's pleasant.
Just one more reason I'm not a boxer. One of the many.
But then I don't want to know your rehydration secrets and stuff, but what have you typically walked into the ring at? Have you weighed yourself before?
Yeah, no. It's pretty average. It's like 183 pounds, something like that.
Which, that's
okay.
That's good.
I mean, yeah, it's good. I think...
See, I have no problem gaining 15 pounds in 2 days. That's not an issue at all.
That's no problem for me either.
Marv's isn't so much secret as much as, like, what do you do, Marv, to gain 15 in 2 2 days?
I look at a piece of cake.
And that does it?
That's just it. Boom, I look at it, boom, my ass is 15 pounds heavier.
Taco Bell.
It's just how that works.
Speaking of which, we got pizza in the other room. We're going to go to our first break.
Hells yeah!
When we go to our first break, we're going to try our guests again in a few, and then we'll go from there.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
And we are back!
We are back. Don't know where Brad is.
We're not sure. He's in a corner somewhere.
I think Anthony's going to go look for Brad.
Brad
right
is
now.
Having an imaginary conversation right now. He'll come back and be like, hey, guys, remember how we were talking about old Ford cars? Well, I just got one. We'll be like, no, you didn't, Brad. We still haven't figured out the mystery of what we nicknamed our...
I really want to know.
I mean, we can come up with a nickname.
I'll be happy to give you a nickname.
So he literally just pulled us out of nowhere?
He just said it. Didn't you see us all looking around at each other like what is he talking about?
Maybe he's a schizo and his other personality
it's a very real possibility.
I don't know.
Like, it doesn't seem crazy, though.
But those are the ones you have to watch out for. They never seem crazy.
It's a quiet one. You got to watch out for.
No, it doesn't look at.
No. Hold on.
John Wayne Gacy was a clown, for crying out loud.
All I got to say is he does hang around with all of us. So, I mean, you kind of have to wonder about his mental capability. No, you're like suspect number one.
No, you're right in the middle. You're talking about, like, I hope my man does fart on my legs so I can jump up on his head and fart on his forehead. You know you said that last week. That's a direct quote.
I'll embrace the crazy. I don't care. I'll just come to me.
embrace the crazy.
Embrace the crazy.
Embrace the crazy.
Embrace the crazy.
That's what we're going to do.
Embrace the crazy.
Rochelle's been working hard trying to track down our interviews. Did you get both of them? Oh, just one?
Okay.
All right, so we're going to call him first. Do you want to introduce him? Because you know everything about him, and then we'll go from there.
Sure, kind of.
Why don't we introduce him once we get him on the phone so we don't...
Yeah, I know. I told him I was calling in like 10, 15 minutes, like so 2 seconds.
We don't do an intro, and then it's like, yeah, we didn't get a hold of him. But remember all that stuff for when we do connect.
So you said 10 or 15 minutes. Call him now or
Yeah, do it now.
Yeah, do it now.
Do it now.
What the hell?
Do it now.
Well, he's like pulling in...
Now! Do it now!
Now! Call up the fighter!
Well, we can wait 2 minutes. Just
no, it's too late now.
Too late.
We're doing
too late
it.
Late
voicemail. Right, voicemail.
I can always
voicemail.
Hang up.
That's no, let's fine. Do, we'll it. Do it.
Quit working that. Oh God.
Oh. Oh. Ah, I was like, trying to text him information.
All right.
Hi, you reached Chris.
I'm yes.
Available. Leave a message.
Oh man.
At 10, the tone, please record your message.
You leave him a message.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up
like
or press one for more options.
Don't do funny.
All right, I had to shoot him. I'll send you the bill.
Thank you.
Actually, that kind of works because Chris is from Texas.
See, there
no,
you go.
He's not.
Oh, no, he's not.
So just
right.
So you know, I have now your nickname is now Meat Stick.
No. Meat Stick. No, it was
Wait, it does say on here.
That's fine.
Chris Trammell is from Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
He lives in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, but he's from Texas.
I didn't get that part.
Oh, well, if he's in Colorado, he's high as a kite right now.
I mean, just by walking outside, not even though he smokes it.
Yeah. You know, like they've actually they've raised so much money that they may actually give. This isn't a joke.
No, I know.
They may actually give people like a tax rebate.
Yeah.
From the marijuana money. They're making more money on marijuana in Colorado than they are on alcohol.
I'm not surprised.
I am not surprised at all either.
And I think they have a brilliant strategy. I think every other state should embrace it.
Yeah.
You know how many economies we could fix by that?
Well, that's part of the problem, Jimmy. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Floyd Mayweather Jr. came to the defense of Nick Diaz and said that he didn't believe in the punishment.
Right.
From so I thought that was interesting because Floyd Mayweather typically hasn't been on pro MMA side, but we do have a pro fighter, and I know Anthony doesn't do it. But what do you think about marijuana? I mean, it's not a performance enhancing drug. Should it still be tested for in?
I don't know. I think I know there's a lot of people that failed drug tests in the past, and they didn't smoke it. They might have been around somebody or someone in their house or what have you. And it's not performance enhancing. If anything, it hurts you.
So. That's what we were saying.
Did you ever see the 24/7 with Mayweather where his girlfriends are smoking it around him like a week before fight week?
I did see that.
Which was crazy. He got in trouble for it. The state did something. I don't know what they did. But they had saw the 24/7. That's crazy to me that he would allow that even around him because, like you said, sometimes somebody can be around
hey,
it.
You know what,
test.
Though? I remember a lot of people talking about that, you know, and that's another thing, like selling the fight.
Well, and here's something, and this is something that I didn't think of before. Is it possible that you could use marijuana as some way of hiding an actual performance-enhancing drug? Could it mask it, and that's why it's also illegal? Not because it's performance enhancing, but because you could use that to mask an actual performance enhancing drug.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
Okay, maybe that
can
that
you?
Could be
not
right.
Like 100% sure. Like,
no, I know, but I'm saying
I honestly I don't know how it works. I'm just wondering. Like,
actually,
does it do that? Can
well,
it?
Well, actually, I'm wondering. I'm going to try texting. I have a friend who's a biochemist, and I'm going to text her and
which
ask
is
her.
To say, as a friend who makes meth.
Yeah, no. But I'm going to text her and I'm going to see.
That would
we'll
be interesting to find
we'll
out.
Get back to it. That maybe that's why it's being tested.
Because like in Ann Arbor, like if you get busted for pot, it's only like a $5 ticket.
It used to
but
be.
If you
I'm
get
sure
if you get busted doing like 20 over, it's like a $300 ticket. So if you ever get pulled over for doing 20 over, spark up a dube.
Well, that's my theory.
And take the ticket on that.
If you were to know you weren't clean going into a job interview or something like that, maybe you should collect all the spectrum of drugs. That way you pee it and go, well, okay, I didn't fail that bad, and you know that. Like, there has to be a, there has to be a mess up, dude, you know? Like, you know, there's no way. Like, I mean.
So Brad is advocating just overdosing.
Exactly.
Oh, I smoked half a joint. I really need to get my hands on some cocaine, some heroin.
There's no way I peed the whole spectrum. Let's redo this in 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
And that's how you go about it, probably, you know? Maybe you get the lenient boss.
That is a great idea.
You got to be a hell of an employee that they're hiring if they're going to be like, yeah, we'll test you a little later, too. We yeah, trust so you. You'll
well,
be
I actually got when I worked at the hospital.
Good luck
you
in your new
take,
job.
Teach. Yeah, when I worked at the hospital, every once in a while they would do a random drug test, and they did a random drug test on me, and then I got pulled into the manager's office, and they're like, "We're going to have to fire you." I'm like, "Why?" And they're like, "You failed your drug test. You passed or you tested positive for methadone." And I'm like, "Wait, what?
Excuse
you're
me?"
Like, yeah, and they're
poppy
like,
seeds?
"No, actually, oh. What it was is there was a mix up at the lab." I don't know how they did this, but there were five people that all tested positive for drugs and five people who were actually taking drugs that didn't. So they redid the test and like reran it like a whole bunch of times and then come to find out that, yeah, that was the mistake. Like they took a batch of like that were like of clean people and then a batch that just happened to have like some of the dirty ones. And they accidentally screwed them up when they were doing the test.
Luckily, it was just a drug test. It wasn't like an AIDS test or something like. Oh,
right.
We have AIDS.
Well,
oh
my they're, God. They're actually that it happens
it's
a lot.
HIV. It's full blown AIDS.
That actually happens a lot more than you would think in like laboratories and stuff like that. That's why anytime that they do a test and they get a positive or whatever result. And the person says, well, that's just not possible because they will always redo the test because they know that mistakes are always made.
Hmm. That reminds me of that 80s movie, and I'm bad with actors' names too, but there's a movie where he's a detective and he has to go get a drug test and they come back and tell him he's dying and they mix it up with a bus driver. Mm. So he's trying to get killed on the job so his family gets the full life insurance, and he later finds out the guy had a mustache.
What is that movie?
Like a poor man's Burt Reynolds. So he wasn't a good looking
poor
guy.
Poor man's
but,
Burt Reynolds. Right. Norm Macdonald.
What's his name? Could Google work this perfect? Actually, this is a good experiment. If I type in the plot, you think Google can find it?
Okay. I'll bet it will. Actually,
yep.
I'll bet it will.
Is that you?
Yeah. You know what?
I'm
and
on
I,
it.
I had
I'm
it
on
off.
It.
My bad.
Something's
only 157
okay.
episodes
the,
of that.
The biochemist says that it is very doubtful that you could use THC to mask a performance-enhancing drug. So that shot that theory out of the water. So, yeah, so I don't know why it would be illegal.
Short time.
Dabney Coleman.
It was
Dabney Coleman.
And it's short time, yes.
Short time.
And just so you know,
yes.
Just so you know, Google is so good, all I typed in was movie, cop thinks, and it completed with he's dying, and then the very first hit, short time, Dabney Coleman. Yes.
That's awesome. I remember
that's how
that
good
movie
Google
now.
Is.
Right.
I remember
so,
that movie
yeah.
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
it's from 1990.
Yeah.
You're old, dude.
Seems like 80s, but...
I wasn't even
well,
born.
Close enough. Shut up. Yeah, shut up, Barnes. I mean that with the utmost respect. Don't hurt me.
We had tape players back then, VHS.
Tape players.
Used to watch.
Walkmans.
Walk.
Yeah, you would have watched short
no,
time.
No, we had CDs by then.
Maybe you did.
Well, 1990, that was
maybe you
school.
Did. I didn't have my first CD player until like 1995 or 96.
Oh, really?
I was poor, dude.
Oh, so were we.
I'm just saying. Well,
I had a paper
you traded in your food stamps for some money and got yourself a CD player.
No,
it's
because
all good.
I got,
it's all good.
I got a job. I got a job when I was 15.
Ooh.
Let's see. 15. In 1990, I was 13.
What was Jimmy's first job?
Paper route.
Paper out.
Yeah,
I think
paper
everyone route. Had a paper
13,
route.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to get a paper route job, but I wouldn't join the union, so they wouldn't let me in.
Wow.
I got muscled out by the paperboy union. They're tough, dude.
The newsies?
The newsies, yeah. I wouldn't dance with them. Christian Bale.
It's a fun
Christian
life.
Bale scared me.
Jack Kelly.
Yeah, Jack Kelly. Give us the newspapers.
It's like Christian Bale as Batman.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Give us some newspapers. Where are the papers heading? I'm not the newsie you need. I'm the newsie you deserve.
This isn't the paper you need.
See, now I just let the train derail, and then I come back.
Yeah, after a while, we'll get bored with ourselves.
Ronda Rousey also came to Nick Diaz's defense.
Here's the thing. I have not seen one professional or amateur fighter on either boxing or MMA side who has agreed with the ruling of the Nevada State Commission. Every single person that I see, every news thing or whatever, they always say that this is complete and utter BS, that it was too harsh of a thing, and that should not have happened. They're not saying what he did was right. What they're saying is the punishment did not fit the crime.
Oddly enough, every person Jimmy is talking about was asked that question outside, and when they rolled down the windows on their car, smoke just billowed out. They were like, "No, it's come here, terrible."
I gotta ask you. You know, do you think that the Nick Diaz judgment was right?
No, man, I don't think it was great at all.
Exactly.
I'm torn with he has a medical marijuana card, so that part I'm torn with, but...
You know, and here's the thing, though.
I'm okay with the 5-year suspension. I don't even care if I get, like, hate mail from that. I'm okay with it. Like, he's violated it so much, and, you know, he acted like... I mean, he purposely avoided a drug test, too. The commissions are there to keep fighters safe, like Anthony Barnes and stuff like that, and I'm not saying somebody on pot's gonna ruin anything, but... They try to be black and white, and you can't play this gray area and continue to play this gray area because law's not written that way. And good lawyers that are evil lawyers to people that get people out, they're able to figure out that gray area and convince juries to think gray when it's really black and white issues.
Right.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You have to do it within the confines of your policies, the rules, the laws. I mean –
It's the third time. It should be a death
sentence. Well, and that's just it. I mean, when you look at it, it's like people, they read too much into it. They place too much of their own morality on it.
Oh, yeah. Right? Everyone thinks marijuana should be legal.
Like,
that's the problem.
Right. Exactly. Like, should he be punished? Well, no, because he shouldn't, because marijuana should be legal. But it ain't.
Right.
Well, all right? It's not. Policy and rules say that.
See, but the thing is most likely it lies with the promoter. When you sign a contract, it says you cannot use drugs at all, period. So that's considered a drug, then guess what? You're not allowed to take it. Period.
Well, I mean,
that's why you should get your promoter to be Zigzag.
Right.
Right.
Frito-Lay.
It's the same thing with the military. You know, there's people that have medical marijuana cards for various different reasons. But in the military, you cannot smoke or have any kind of, you know, marijuana or THC supplements or whatever. Even if they have the card for legitimate medical reasons, they cannot use it in the military because the military says that you cannot have.
Is there a military grade?
No.
Here's
the thing, and this is what kind of ticks everybody off. So for a soldier that has PTSD, he's not allowed to, even though it is proven that marijuana helps with PTSD a great amount, they are not allowed to smoke marijuana. However, they go on 15 other drugs for their PTSD, which they wouldn't need if the military would say, okay, you know what? We're going to allow marijuana to be an actual legitimate thing for PTSD.
Those other drugs are manufactured and sold by large pharmaceutical companies.
I understand
making
that.
Them huge money.
And
marijuana,
yes.
You can grow in your kitchen.
And that's the reason why.
Yes.
Well, from like a fighter promoter standpoint, though, like you got to think about it. If I was a promoter and you were a fighter and you were smoking pot,
that would be terrible. I don't recommend that at all.
No, yeah, sure. But if you were smoking pot and I'm paying you a bunch of money to do your job as a fighter, that's not really protecting my investment, is it?
So right. No, it's not.
No, so the fighter shouldn't be doing it.
So you're saying I'm just money to you, Barnes?
Yeah, pretty much.
he's a promoter and you're the fighter. You're a piece of meat.
I like to hear arguments about both sides of like whether marijuana should be legal or not. And then I don't know sometimes the sides. So like I'll just say, oh, okay. And I believe it might be this way or not. But circulating from last year came out a video. The number one argument I hear about pot is there's an argument out there that, like, I drive better on pot, okay? and people are like, I drive better on pot, right? Have you seen, and if you've not, Marv, you got to Google it right now, a rapper called E-40. who was sitting behind home plate during the World Series.
Wait. His name is E-40?
E-40. And he
is
was
he named after a gasoline?
I have to, ethanol 40. He was sitting behind home plate during the World Series in KC. And what happened was, I'll explain it to people, and if you get a chance, watch it. It's worth it. He's high as a kite, right?
Right.
And so people say, I can drive on pot. I drive better on pot. It makes me relax. So a foul ball's like hit. Yeah. And it's going straight back into. And everybody reacts to it. And then like 15 seconds later, he reacts to it.
Wait, I got
to
see this. Hold on.
Show Barnes. That's not good for reaction times.
All right. I'm going to blow it up. There he is right there. Right? Okay. So watch. Here it comes. Boom. Ah!
So I no longer believe in the I can drive better on it. Because that video is hilarious, dude.
Well, that's what we're talking about. It's not performance enhancing. Somebody throw if you smoke weed and you get in the ring, someone throws a punch at you, you're going to take 5 seconds to move out of the way. By that point in time, you've already been hit.
There's grandmothers out there in their 70s that have better reflexes than that guy. On pot.
If you continue, like, not only does he reach up like 15 seconds later, but then he like sort of stares at his hand. Yeah.
Like a pass through his hand.
Yeah, here's the thing though. I still say maybe you'd be okay driving because like your internal speed limit when you're high on pot is like 4 miles an hour.
So
while your reaction time may be slow, it's not like it needs to be fast either.
No, because you can get pulled over for going below the speed limit.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I know what I'm saying. Yeah. You're not really going to be a danger.
And some of my best fisher benders were always
four. If I got hit by a car doing 4 miles an hour, I'm fairly certain I would stop
but
a car.
You are not the issue. Right. You driving 4 miles an hour on the freeway and someone coming around a corner going 70 and plows into your car, that it will injure you and that will injure them.
Nah.
That person would be me.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, then, you know what? If you're doing 70 on the freeway, you should have been smoking pot and doing 4 miles an hour. If everybody would just smoke pot and do 4 miles an hour, the world would be a safe place.
Well, but then if you go with that thing, then everybody should just go back to riding a horse and buggy.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Less pollution?
More poop.
Yeah, I mean the
Jimmy farts on cars. All right? Jimmy will
The methane levels will rise
on the door of your car. So what difference does it make?
But if you have a horse, you're not going to tell the difference.
Here's the thing though, it would create jobs because if you have a horse, you need people.
That's true. Yeah.
Entire jobs. Your job is to go around and shovel up poop.
Yep.
It's a job creator.
And take care of the horses.
Yes.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
We're creating jobs. Jimmy and Marv for president.
There you go.
We're job creators.
You think it's okay to call our guest now?
Yeah, let's try.
Sure.
Let's do it.
All right.
Which one?
Which
one? Chris, right?
This one. Oh, okay.
Come on, get with the game, meat stick.
That's an awful name.
My nickname was so much better.
I know
than
what that
What is it?
Really. I don't remember.
Hey, wait, maybe
you
this
had
is
your term to
maybe this
we
is a who's on first thing.
Yet.
Maybe his maybe nickname for her is I don't remember. And this is just all night long has been a whole who's on first thing.
Yeah, exactly.
What's her name? I don't remember. Oh, you got to remember her name. What's her name? I don't remember.
That would be
Rochelle's
funny.
Up to do the introduction.
What's the girl's name running the board?
I don't remember. It's Chris.
Hi, Chris. Welcome to the undercard. You're live on air.
Oh, wow.
I told you.
How you doing?
So are you at all freaked out about a weird message that may have been left for you a few minutes ago?
That's great.
We're talking to Chris Head Trauma Trammell. He is an MMA fighter out of Boulder, Colorado, and fights with Glory. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Chris, there.
I'm 35 years old. I started my career in MMA, but now pretty much just do straight kickboxing. The early days, I moved out to Las Vegas, and I was a member of Randy Couture's team, trained with Forrest Griffin, Rampage Jackson, a couple of the old classic names from the UFC, and then ended up breaking my wrist in 2010 and kind of had a few straight, so now I can punch people directly in the face well, but I can't grapple, so I've gone on to just kickboxing.
You can be honest with us.
Yeah.
You can be honest with us. It was the ringworm from grappling that you didn't want or anything on the mat.
Oh, God.
It was wrestling around in pajamas on the mat all day. I didn't like it.
Why do you always have to bring ringworm into it, Brad?
It's an inside
it's
joke.
Gross.
Right now. Anyways, I think four people got that here. So you knew the legends and stuff like that. Tell us about kickboxing because MMA. You know, it's the new hand combat sport, but kickboxing's been around for a while. And is reputable and has WBC has a kickboxing championship and stuff like that. Tell us the main difference that for you as an athlete going to kickboxing from MMA.
Well, even in my MMA career, I always preferred striking. It was always my favorite thing to do. I mean, I'm kind of guy, like, since I was probably 5 or 6 years old, was watching kung fu movies, ninja movies. But to me, a martial artist was jumping through the air, throwing kicks and knees and punches, and that's always kind of what I've really been drawn to. Differences as far as the sport, I think kickboxing, I mean, I love MMA a lot too, but I think kickboxing could be far more exciting. It's got the highest knockout ratio of any combat sport. A lot of the promotions that are on the scene now, I mean, the fighters are incredible, like from Glory to Legacy and Lion Fight and some of the promotions that are up and coming. I mean, they're really, really amazing shows to watch. I get a totally different feeling when I go to a kickboxing fight. It's just so high energy, high pace the whole time. You can hear the shots landing throughout the crowd. It's really intense, and I certainly enjoy doing it a lot more. I feel like it's a little more pure in the sense that I can train one discipline and then just kind of let myself go into that discipline, whereas MMA, it's tough. You have to do wrestling, jiu-jitsu, boxing, Muay Thai. You have to do your conditioning, your sparring. And at 35, my body just likes to punch and kick things now.
Now, I'm not a kickboxer, but I would assume that a knockout from a kick is much better than a punch. Am I correct that you have more force from the kick?
Yeah, a lot more force. I mean, when somebody connects really well, like shin against head, that's a lot of impact coming in. You know, I mean, and of course, you know, it happens in MMA, but you have the ability to clinch up with your opponent, to stall, to take him down, to push him up against the fence. MMA on the UFC level, the world level, super exciting, but I often find when I go to local shows or local events, the guys that are kind of up and coming, they tend to play it a little more safe. There's a lot more wrestling for the crowd. It doesn't seem as enjoyable for the layperson watching to watch two guys kind of press up against each other on the cage for 5 minutes, you know. And kickboxing has just got such a higher, you know, more intense pace to it. Mm-hmm.
So for us, because I don't follow kickboxing as much as I'd like to, but if you want to get inside and punch, how do you avoid the kicks to do that? Give us a little bit of a kickboxing insight.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question for me because I am 5'11.5" and I am a pretty big guy. I'm kind of built like Mike Tyson, so I walk around about 220 pounds and I have to cut down to 187 to fight a middleweight. And at that weight, I'm still facing guys that are 6'4", 6'5". My opponent at Glory, for instance, in a couple of weeks, he's 6'4". And for me, that creates a really dangerous scenario trying to get close enough to land strikes because obviously the kick range is a lot further out. So trying to come in and work my way in like you would in boxing maybe to get close to an opponent is not nearly as safe because you have knees coming at you, you know, kicks coming at you. So it takes a little bit more in the way of strategy and angles to set up to come in without getting the crap kicked out of you, you know.
So kickboxing, what do you guys think of boxing right now? I mean, is it something that you guys support? You guys still watch boxing? Or when you become a kickboxer, like kickboxing takes over your life and you don't really follow boxing as much?
I personally love boxing, and if you're a kickboxer, that's you know, definitely a humongous part of your discipline is boxing. And depending on, I mean, there's several different kind of styles, you know, in striking. You can have a strict Muay Thai style, which tends to favor kicks, knees, elbows a little more than punches. But most guys, you know, nowadays, especially fighting in Glory Rules type events, they've done a lot of Western boxing and a lot of what's also a Dutch kickboxing style, which involves a lot more of the hands, a lot quicker movement, more of a 50-50 weight distribution, so you can move and switch stances and do things like that. So boxing, I mean, I'm still a huge fan of, but on the actual competition level, there's a couple fighters I can think of that are exciting to watch to me nowadays. And I think that's the biggest thing is boxing just doesn't have as many stars nowadays. Mayweather's huge, but I hate Mayweather fights. They're boring as hell for an hour, you know, and he just kind of sits on the ropes. Flips punches, never really does anything devastating, or seems like he's trying to press the fight.
Can I get an amen? Can I get an amen? Amen.
Everybody here at the table, 100% agrees.
No, not Brad. Not Brad. Brad loves him.
Damn, you know, if the world saw some of these kickboxing events, it's so much more exciting.
So, tell us the Glory rules. How many minute rounds? How many rounds? Stuff like that.
So Glory's 3 3-minute rounds, which kind of maybe sounds like a short period of time, you know, considering boxing has, you know, up to 12-round fights. But when you watch a 3 3-minute round fight between two guys that can literally break each other in half with kicks and knees, I mean, there's not a whole lot much longer you want to go in terms of rounds, because two guys can really take each other apart in that time. The rule set for Glory is no elbows. When you fight full Muay Thai rules, elbows will be allowed, and they'll allow you to clinch with your opponent, which basically you're tying your opponent up with your hands, holding them, moving around, directing their ankles, and you're landing knees and elbows at the same time. So that's not present in Glory rules. Glory's allows kicks, boxing, and knees, and the clinch is very limited. So it's a real, like, fast, high-paced type of fight.
Very cool. And if people want to follow your career and follow you on Facebook as you continue on with your kickboxing career, where can they find you?
You can just look me up, Chris Trammell, C-H-R-I-S-T-R-A-M-E-L-L on Facebook. I have an athlete page as well as a personal page. And I'm also on Instagram at Head Trauma Trammell.
Yeah, how did you – just quick question. How did you – I mean, I think it's obvious, but how did you come up with that nickname?
Actually, my nickname's got a little kind of a funny twist to it. It was maybe 10, 12 years ago, living in Las Vegas. I was training with a lot of the top UFC guys, and nearly every time before a fight, and absolutely in every fight, I would get cut open. So I was kind of known as what they call a bleeder.
Oh.
And my coach, coach made the joke that I would bleed at the weigh-ins.
Gotcha.
One of my teammates, he started calling me Head Trauma Trammell, and it stuck for like over a decade now.
See,
I like to think I earn it by doling out the head trauma more than receiving.
Right. There you go.
Well, because we've actually been worried about Brad all night long.
Because we think that Brad might have a slight TBI.
He's been having, like, he'll like earlier, he's just like, hey, guys, remember that hilarious nickname we came up with? And we're like, no, nobody. He's like, yeah, last week we gave it to you. We're like, no, we didn't. So we're worried that he has some kind of head trauma that nobody knows about.
Yeah, mine, evidently people think it fits because people literally call me Trauma in my day-to-day life. They don't call me Chris. Pretty funny.
That's pretty funny. Brad, your new nickname is Trauma.
Brad Trauma Snyder.
Brad, yep, that's it.
Yeah. Well, we wish you the best. Tell us a little bit about the Glory fight. When is it happening? Is there a way for us to watch it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's going to be happening October 9th. They're splitting up the card into two different TV airings. So the main portion of the card that night will be live on Spike TV. And then I'm going to be competing against Zach Wells in the Super Fight series. And I believe that's going to air on a tape delay a week later on CBS Sports.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Very cool. Well, we appreciate you joining us. We're going to follow. Maybe we'll have you back on the show pretty soon. Best of luck at Glory, and we'll be checking it out.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Have a good one. We got to move the show on a little bit because we're at the 8:15 mark, and Jimmy came up with some stuff because we like to talk some pop culture along with hand combat.
Uh-huh.
Barnes, I do not know their list, so you can join me. Jimmy came up with a list of movies that did very well at the box office, but...
Were horrible movies. Or bad movies. Should not have earned what they did. And I gave everybody the same list, myself, Marv, and Rochelle. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through, we're going to name the our 10 that are on the list and how much they made.
So this list is the
top 100
by a box office draw.
Right. And it's both domestic and international.
Do you have a list in front of you? The list? Okay, good. Because I only wrote down one number.
That's fine. Okay, so for me, the number two movie on the list, which is, of course, number one for me, is Titanic. Horrible movie.
You and me both, Jimmy. We agree
horrible,
on that one.
Horrible movie.
Yep, awful.
All right. Next one down.
I never cheered so much when the quote-unquote hero of a movie died as when DiCaprio floated to the bottom of the
ocean.
That's
right. Yep.
I stood up in my home and cheered.
That was your number one?
That was my number one.
That's number one.
Yep.
That's the worst.
Okay. That was number one. All right.
Yep.
So number two, because it's going down in sequential order because of the grossing. So... number two is Iron Man 3. Terrible movie. I like Marvel movies. I like Iron Man, but Iron Man 3 was just really, really bad, and it should not have made.
$1.2 billion
worldwide, and it should not have done that. Number three for me is Transformers: Dark of the Moon. Terrible movie.
Was that the second or third?
That was the third. Rise of the Fallen was the second.
I haven't seen the last one yet.
Age of Extinction. It goes Transformers, Rise of the Fallen, Dark of the Moon, and Age of Extinction.
Yeah, it was bad. It's on my list.
They all suck. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Number four is The Dark Knight Rises. Did not like it.
What the
Dark Knight
hell?
Rises.
I'm sorry.
Dark Knight Rises, yeah, the one with Bane.
Yeah.
No. Jim. I understood what movie you're talking about, but...
It was a bad movie.
What are you smoking?
Yeah. It was a bad movie.
No. Oh, my God.
It really was.
I'm going to have to sort of go ahead and disagree with you on that one.
Yeah. All right. A
little bit.
Number five is Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides.
I've never seen it.
That's so the one with the mermaid.
That's the one with the mermaid. Yep. Yep. So number six is Star Wars 1, The Phantom Menace.
Nah. On my list.
Terrible movie.
No, you guys.
Number eight.
You guys want me to watch that?
No.
We want you to watch four.
Liz, you have to watch them all.
No, you got to watch them all, but you got to kind
of. They don't get it. Okay, don't worry about it. Was Phantom Menace the best of the Star Wars movies? Not by any stretch of the imagination.
No, but it is.
But what it was is Phantom Menace was all set up. It was the beginning of the story.
No, they could have done the entire. They could have done the entire movie of the Phantom Menace in the first 5 minutes of an actually good movie.
No.
Yep.
No.
All right. Number eight. Awful. Number eight, Spider-Man 3.
That's on my list.
Yep.
Oh, don't even.
I'm sorry.
That's
the one with
the emo. Venom. Emo Spider-Man.
Yeah, Venom.
Okay.
Venom.
Venom.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Terrible movie. Next one down, Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Again, a terrible movie. I put this one on there, but every movie in this series should be just wiped off the face of the planet, and that's Twilight Saga.
Yes.
Breaking Dawn
I Part
that. 2.
Yeah, I called it. Yep.
I have
there.
Twilight, yep. All of the Twilight movies yep. on there.
And then the last
ever.
One is 2012.
Yeah, I got that.
Just terrible movie.
Was that the end of the world?
The
giant arc?
Jake Gyllenhaal where he like,
walks. No.
No, Cusack. That's you're thinking of Day After Tomorrow, which is actually a pretty good
2012
movie.
Is the one with John Cusack.
Yeah.
Like where they have the arcs and they're getting to China and...
Never been seen.
You could buy a spot.
Terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't that.
No, it's terrible.
Who's that? The boxing fan?
Yeah.
What?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
What?
Okay. So those are my top 10. Right.
Is there any Anthony that you think should not be on the list? I mean, is a good movie.
Anthony's not a movie watcher, are you?
No, I'm not a huge movie watcher.
So
I've seen most of.
Me about not watching movies, but it's like he don't.
No,
watch
but I've seen all.
He's seen Star Wars.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is America.
He's also busy having a boxing career.
Right.
You're so just drinking seven up.
Right, exactly. Winning.
All right. So, Marv.
All right.
Well,
so,
no, wait. Well, Anthony, was there something?
No, it's a pretty solid list. All right. Honestly, I've seen most of those, and they, I could.
No, those are terrible. Yep. All right.
Let's hear Marv's.
All right. So, actually, Jimmy and I share several of them. My word, Titanic, terrible.
Yep.
Thor, The Dark World.
Okay.
I did not care for the Thor movies. Not care for them. Avatar.
That's my number one.
I thought Avatar was terrible.
Really?
Like, I mean, this
awful
special effects. Sure, great.
Awful. Story you didn't want to commit suicide
was
after leaving
awful.
Because our
story
world
was awful.
Bad.
I have never watched it again, and I thought it was the biggest waste of my.
I saw
three
it one
and
time.
Half hours
wow.
or whatever
right.
it was.
I'm gonna have to go ahead and disagree.
You
with
can,
you on that one.
But
I thought in 3D it looks sweet.
You're also a guy who thought Dark Knight Rises was terrible. So
exactly.
All right. My next Frozen. I don't. Frozen was. I don't get. I here's the thing.
Oh, don't even clap because you've never
right.
seen it.
I've
let
never
me,
seen it.
Hold on.
Movie.
Let me clarify.
I've never seen
let me
it.
Clarify. So
I have to see it. Either.
To me, like, is it one of the worst movies ever? No, I don't get what the hype was. It wasn't
Do you have a
great
daughter?
Movie. What's that?
Do you have a daughter?
Not that I know of.
Okay then.
But I have a wife who watched it like 8 times.
That's okay.
What is it? What is it about?
It's the
it's the Disney princess.
It's
go.
Girl power.
Here's the only thing good is that song had or that movie had a song in it about farting. Let it go, let it go. That song is about farting.
All right.
So that Frozen. Transformers, the very first one, and I never saw any of the ones after it because that one was so terrible.
Okay, so you didn't like the first?
Not at all. No, it was awful. Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End.
Okay.
Hated that one. And then I also included Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides and whatever may have come after, because once I saw it at World's End, I was like, I'm not wasting my time on the rest of these.
Right. No, because
the first
after,
two
yeah,
were good.
Yeah,
Black Pearl and
two.
Dead Man's Chest,
yep.
those were good. The rest of them sucked ass. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
That was pretty bad.
That was awful.
It's
and
not
only
list,
was it
bad.
Awful, but it was it came dangerously close to ruining a childhood hero.
Yep.
Like, I hated that movie so much, it almost made me hate the rest of the Indiana Jones series by association.
Bad. Okay.
That's how much I hated that movie. It may have had a lot to do with Shia LaBeouf.
Okay. Spoiler alert, it was an alien crystal head.
Anyways.
Oh, my God, Brad. Why do you have to do this to people?
It's okay.
All right. Continue. And then Twilight, all of the Twilight. And full disclosure, I've not seen any of them.
I have, though.
But I can tell you just from bits I've seen on YouTube and trailers, and the fact that the vampires friggin' sparkle.
They do. They sparkle.
Yeah, that tells me that it's going to be terrible. Yep. So, dumb.
See, I will never say that a movie is an abomination until I've actually seen it, so that I can say for a fact I have seen it, and it is, in fact,
Here's the
an
thing.
Abomination.
I don't need to taste dog shit to know it's going to taste bad. I can see it, and I know that I don't want to put it in my mouth. Right. So I can see what I've seen of Twilight and know I don't want to get into my eyes.
No, see, I can say that they're not great films. They are not. The first one I saw like at a special preview, and I was so angry.
So is it just the shirtless men? Is that what's endearing to it about you?
No, see, I loved the book series. And
really?
I did. I loved the book series. Could not get enough.
I haven't read any of the books either.
That's just it. Like, I have a love for the characters, so I had to watch them. And progressively, they did get better. I don't know if it was because they changed directors. I can't stand Kristen Stewart, and I can't stand Robert Pattinson. So they had nothing.
Which one
to do
is the
them.
Vampire?
Robert Pattinson.
What's his character's name?
Edward.
So Edward is the vampire.
You are either Team Edward or Team something.
Okay. Jacob. I am Team Lestat, and Lestat kicks Edward's ass every time.
He's a rock and roll guy. He's stupid.
I'm talking Lestat in like the second book.
I understand who he is.
I mean, second book. Like third book Lestat. Like after that, he's kind of crappy. But anyway, I haven't finished my list yet. And then actually, I was trying to think of the last one, and I couldn't think of it. And somehow I missed 2012 on this list. So I'm going to put 2012 on there. Yeah. So I'm going to put 2012 on there. But, however, just because we're talking about this, it's not on the list of top grossing movies, and I'm happy about that. But my most hated movie of all time is The Blair Witch Project.
Okay.
I don't even know if you could categorize that as a movie.
Well, here's
though.
The thing. Here's why I hate that movie so much. It was a great idea.
It was a phenomenal idea.
They dropped the ball on it.
Yes,
so
they did.
Huge.
Yep.
How much did they make?
I don't know how much they made.
Well, I mean, they're on the top grossing.
Well, but no, they're not. They're not on this list.
They're the top. They're not the top grossing, but they are the highest.
They're the
profit margin.
Yeah,
they're the highest because they spent like
$20,000
or $20,000, and they made like millions on it.
Well, I guess I would say they didn't drop the ball if they made.
No, they absolutely dropped the ball. It has nothing to do with the money you made.
Hey, they made a sequel or two.
And that's why they dropped the ball.
Yeah,
they should have just left it.
No, they should.
He didn't like the original.
It was terrible. The first one, they should have named that movie In the Woods Yelling. All right, that's all that movie was.
Well, let me ask you the question,
Marv.
You
can see some snot rolling.
And this is a serious question. Have you ever been lost in
the
woods?
Yes, I have. And
for days.
Well, no, because I don't know if you know, I live in America where you're never that far from a town. Mm-hmm. I also know that if you are in the woods and you come to a stream of water, you follow it one way or the other, and you come to civilization.
Eventually.
What did they do? They crossed over and went the other way. I'm just saying.
Everything that they did was wrong.
That was on our list for her to watch, so thanks.
Yeah. Okay, I understand what you're saying. And my point is that if I felt any like scared or whatever, it was like, empathizing with, I remember when I was lost. But my point is they were making this movie. It was a great idea. Yeah. Put actors out there. Have them improv. But it was they failed miserably.
Yeah.
When
I saw it, it was still under the auspice that it was a real thing. Like, this was real found footage. And I went and I saw it, and it was freaky for me because I had been lost in the woods for days on end. And I did follow the river like you're supposed to, but it took me 3 days to get to civilization, because when I started following it, I went the opposite way of where if I had gone the other way, I would have ended up to civilization.
Yeah, you should probably go downstream.
Well, no, I was going downstream.
I'm just saying, whatever.
What state was that, Jimmy?
This was in Michigan. This was at the very, very tip of the Upper Peninsula in the Porcupine Mountain region area.
Okay.
I got separated from the rest of my group. I tried to walk back to get to where they were. I got completely lost.
Was this pre or post National Guard?
This was pre. I was like 18.
Thank God.
Oh, God, no.
Because I was going to have words with you.
No. If I had a land, but I didn't have a compass or a map or anything like that. Yeah. But No, I kept walking and walking and walking, got lost. Then I walked some more where I thought I was going the right way. Were you
so scared?
I really was because you're lost. You're just like, shit, what am I going to do?
Well, I mean, like I
said, then I turned around and started trying to walk the other way. Right.
You can empathize with it. Yep. I get that. It was just a terrible movie. So, Barnes, what about my list? Do I have anything on there that shouldn't have been on there? I'll add that just so you know.
No, I hated Twilight movies.
Yeah,
Hold on. I only saw like one. I saw like 20 minutes of it and I stopped. So.
But you knew.
I can't waste my
time. Right, yeah. All right, cool. So we're good.
Yep. All right, Rochelle.
Okay. All right, number one, I have Avatar, just because.
I gotta disagree.
Waste of hours.
It's a bad movie.
I'm not listening to anybody who thinks that the Blair Witch was good and was lost in the woods for 3 days.
Shut up.
The Avatar was really bad, though. That's another movie where I just stopped watching because I was like, I am too smart to watch this.
No,
I love the people that I love the people that were depressed after watching Avatar. You remember the syndrome? Because like the the world was so pretty and blue that people would go see the movie and then come back to their real world life, and there was actually a syndrome named after it.
Yep. It's a psychological thing because of the
Avatar
blue and
so
the way
beautiful,
that.
Beautiful. I got to come back to planet Earth and be real.
So you ever see Joe versus the volcano?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Like the beginning of that movie, everything is just fluorescent lights and sickly. And it's like people intensified.
Number two, I have actually Jurassic World on here.
Okay. That wasn't great either.
I almost put that on there, but
I had other ones.
I skipped.
That were
right.
Wait, was that like the new dress?
Yeah.
It just wasn't believable.
No, hold on. No.
Uh oh.
That would have been
Lee Barnes.
No. It was not that awesome a movie, but I actually kind of liked it because it had like little bits of like the first movie.
Oh yeah,
Jurassic
that's
Park. I like the first Jurassic Park.
Well, the first Jurassic Park was great.
The first Jurassic Park was great. Yeah.
Right. They had like the jeeps and they had like, you know, I liked that. I don't know.
I mean, they threw in some homages.
It was a nostalgic thing for you.
Yeah. It wasn't actually like a good movie.
Okay.
Like,
well, that's.
Yeah. I liked it better.
And it's number three on the list, too.
That would have been my number one.
No, I mean, it's number three on the top grossing list.
Well, of course. It's a Spielberg joint.
Right.
Okay. Number three, I have Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Episode one, Star Wars.
Yeah. Whatever.
Sorry, we tried. We tried watching Return of the Sith the other
Revenge
day.
Of the Sith.
Whatever.
Yeah.
That bad.
Now, see, Revenge of the Sith, of those
the dialogue,
first three, is
the acting is so horrendous. Like, it made me angry.
It's bad, the acting.
It's very, and here's the thing. I agree with you, except Ewan McGregor and Natalie Portman actually took the bad dialogue and actually made it decent, but Hayden Christensen is not a good enough actor to take that horrible dialogue
good. I'm referring to an actual scene with just Ewan McGregor and Natalie Portman, and it was horrific.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
She's passionate about that. Do you see
What scene are we talking about?
Yeah, what scene are we talking about?
Any scene she calls Anakin Annie was pretty bad.
No, it's the one when he's like, he's the father, isn't he?
Yes, that's a bad scene.
Oh,
well, it's bad dialogue, but the acting was good.
No, it's not.
What have
it is.
Done?
The acting was good, even though it was bad dialogue.
Anyway. next, I have Alice in Wonderland.
Okay.
The one with Tim Burton.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It could have been so much better.
It could have been.
And...
And that's the thing is, I mean, it's called Alice in Wonderland, but it wasn't Alice in Wonderland. It was Alice in Wonderland, like, it's been 10 years kind of thing like that. Like, I know they're calling it Alice in Wonderland, but you can't even really call it that because it was the sequel to Alice in Wonderland. Does that make any sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was terrible. Spider-Man 3?
Yep.
I could have done without Spider-Man 2 as well, but it wasn't on the list of that.
James Franco?
Anyways.
No, it's James Franco. I had the next two Ice Age movies.
Okay.
Continental Drift and Dawn of the Dinosaurs.
See, I didn't put any kids' movies on the list because kids' movies are a whole other thing.
There should not have been sequels to Ice Age. Period.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Any of those, the Madagascar, the Ice Age, all of those, they suck so bad. And my kids...
Come on.
I like to move it.
I'm sorry.
I like to move it.
No.
Yeah, I like to move it.
See, for me, I don't put anything that's like a kids movie on there because kids movies are a whole different ball game because they don't have to be good movies.
Yes, they do.
For it to be a kids movie, it has to be, you know, entertaining for kids.
Yeah.
Because the parents are forced to watch that.
I understand that, but the parents.
To make money,
I get what you're saying.
The point is, though, to make money, they don't have to be good because, just like you said, the parents are going to be forced to see it over and over again.
Exactly.
So it doesn't have to be good to make money. That's why I say money means very little.
They're number 39 and 42 in the top grossing of all films. Yeah.
Because they're kids' movies. Frozen was higher. Yeah.
Frozen was better.
Yeah.
Frozen was awesome. Don't knock the Frozen.
Damn straight.
I'll cut you.
I'm just kidding. Wow. I'm not knocking the Frozen.
I have mad love for Frozen.
I don't
settle down. I forget.
Number 9, I have Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, Jesus, God.
Sucked.
All right.
Oh, my God.
2012, which I thought was The Day After Tomorrow. And my I have an honorable mention.
Okay.
Furious 7. Haven't seen it.
I haven't seen any of the Furious movies because I assume they're all terrible.
What is it, number 2 or number 3 on the top grossing? You got the list.
Number four or five.
I really cannot believe that those movies.
Well, you know why? You know why?
No. I know why. And that's what makes me upset about it. It's like, you know, they're not good movies and they crank them out like once a year, once every 2 years.
Yeah.
They're already working on the next one.
Yeah.
However, I would see the Furious movie as they found on South Park in that one episode when they found the script and it was all full of. Barnes knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. It was like all full of gay sex. And like finally the producer's like, he's like, oh yeah, we film all the Furious movies with all the gay sex, and we just edit it out later.
Speaking, I'm not a car guy, but Barnes, you're a car guy.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious movies, good? No?
Okay, so like the first one, I thought like for its time, it was okay. I think there's too many like glowing lights and stickers and stuff. but some of the cars in there were like legitimate like good cars.
Okay.
Second one I thought was horrible.
See, the only one I've liked is Tokyo Drift.
Now listen, so Tokyo Drift is horrible, but awesome cars.
That's because of the cars. That's why
I liked it. Incredible. I thought
that's why I liked
really
it.
Liked them. Right. And like there were legitimate cars that you see in like the actual like you know, when you actually go to like the festivals and stuff like that for the cars.
Hey, you go that drift thing down in Clifton.
Yeah, you know that. You know, yeah, that thing. Streets of Detroit, but not those. I mean, but these cars like legitimate show cars that you see like in Vegas and stuff, and they have all those shows. So like they're like. It was a good car show. Let's see.
You're not going to do all seven, are you?
No, it's the last one. The last one was like just because he died. And
that's
like,
exactly
oh,
it.
And that's why it was number exactly five on the thing. Right.
See, I would have watched that. Too soon?
Too soon.
But
no, it isn't.
Here's a little thing. I don't know if you guys heard about this. So apparently there is a local newswoman who is on Tinder. I don't know who it is, but apparently her thing is getting somebody who looks like Vin Diesel.
Oh, yeah.
To come over. She puts them in a tank top with gold chains so that they can have sex.
How did you figure this out?
Because it was on the radio. There was on a radio morning show that I was listening to, and they were trying to figure out who it was. There was all these guesses. But, yeah, there is a local newswoman who I don't know who
it
is.
If she were still on, I would say that's totally
a
mere makeup.
So did you make a Tinder profile? And
say what again?
Did you make a Tinder profile?
I don't look like Vin Diesel. No,
it's actually Jimmy. Jimmy says that he's an anchor woman to come on over, and they show up, and he's like, put this on.
Put this chain on.
Yeah. But apparently, so, like, a guy tipped them off to this, and they, like, and other people were, like, calling in, and they knew, like, the details. Like, it was legitimate. Like, she had done this with, like, five different guys. And, like, they were in, like, a rotation, I guess.
How has that not come out who it is, though?
Because they're trying to really keep it a secret.
Everybody knows. I mean, they weren't
giving hints. They weren't doing whatever. But yeah,
I didn't hear about this. I think it's just you. I think it's you.
No, it's not. Here, I'll find the thing on it. Hold on.
He made a fake website and everything.
Are you done with your list then, too?
Yeah, that was it.
Jimmy, Dark Knight Rises. What? What about that film?
We were just discussing like the other day, like how awesome it is.
No, Dark Knight Rises is really bad because. They basically the reason is you're coming off of Heath Ledger as the Joker.
Correct.
Okay. Who is the best Batman villain has ever shown on screen.
Okay.
Okay. Then they threw Bane in there, who is already a weak character to begin with. Bane is not a strong Batman villain. There's so many other villains that they could have done. They could have done better. They put Tom Hardy as Bane.
Mm-hmm.
Then they took Tom Hardy's voice away, changed it through voice-changing technology, and you couldn't understand him when he spoke.
Yeah, we understand.
No, I mean, you could, but a lot of people couldn't. And they also did the script of it. They had too much going on. They were trying to shove so much stuff down the throats of the viewers to kind of wrap everything up before the end, because they knew it was going to be the end of the Christian Bale Batman trilogy. They were doing too much. They didn't give enough interaction between Batman and Catwoman, which in the comics is a significant thing, because in the comics, Batman and Selina Kyle actually get married and have a son, Damian Wayne, who becomes like the fourth generation of Robin or whatever. They also tried so they
blew Anthony's mind.
Yeah, so they also like, so they introduced Selina Kyle. Then they also introduced Talia Ghul.
I was just watching your live listeners. They're dropping like mad.
Yeah, I have no doubt. I have no doubt at all.
I have like, no we can't doubt listen to this up, guy
Dave.
Anymore.
All right.
Shut up,
Dave. Yeah. But anyways.
All right, you've gone over your limit on the
I thought it was very bad. I thought it was poorly executed.
So let me get this straight. So you're upset about a movie because it didn't cram 5 years of comic book story into
much.
2 hours.
They crammed too much, and they didn't – they like kind of – I don't know how to explain it, but like – Batman Begins Into Dark Knight actually had kind of a natural continuity. In this, they were kind of jumping around too much, and I didn't like that.
Jamie likes simple plots in movies, you know, like the Blair Witch Project. And
stuff. I guess.
No, but I thought they were trying to do too much. They should have just simplified it, used a different villain than Bane. I honestly think
so
the
who
last.
Who do you think they should have used?
The Riddler. I honestly think the Riddler would have been.
I
the
think
bat-
the Riddler is one of the most annoying.
I can't stand the Riddler.
Here's the thing: the Riddler said, done you right. You said though. It yourself, though, Jimmy. You had just come off of Heath Ledger's Joker.
Yeah.
You can't then go and first of all, you can't stand up to that.
You can't.
Any villain they brought in after that was not going to stack up. You can't then go with the Riddler, who is arguably like Joker
the lower,
light.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
like Joker light. So you can't go Riddler
Joker
after
light.
You do
not if you do the regular
diet
not if you
Joker.
Do the not if you
it is it's Diet Joker exactly
no
it's
calories.
Diet Joker
not
it's Joker
do,
zero
not if you do the Riddler right. The way that we've seen the Joker has been the campy goofy Riddlers, but
no.
If you get into the comics, the Riddler is a lot different than the Joker.
Well, this is also a movie, not a comic.
So let's get
I just hope Christopher Nolan forgives you at the pearly gates.
Jeez,
and you're allowed back in.
All right, so as we were saying earlier, we started watching Gotham.
Yeah.
And him and I both agree that it's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's bad. It's bad.
No.
It's terrible.
No.
No, it is pretty bad.
I haven't found one person who does like it.
Right here. You're sitting across the table from him.
Okay. Well, what do you like about it, Mark?
Yeah. Tell me what character you like in it, because we're only
say the Penguin.
6 episodes.
No, I would never say the Penguin. He annoys the crap out of me.
But that's just it. I was telling him, like, the only character that I somewhat like right now is the Penguin, and I can't stand him. So it's
annoying
how
as
bad
hell.
It is.
He's annoying as hell. I like the Gordon character.
I don't mind.
I do.
Him.
I like the Gordon character. It's like, first of all, though.
Have
like,
you watched the whole season?
I haven't seen any of the like most recent season yet. I'm way behind.
It started yesterday.
Yeah.
So I mean, like the second half, because they took a break, right, and then came back.
I don't know. We just bought it on DVD.
Okay. So they took a break and then came back, and so like I've basically seen what is it, a season and a half, I guess, or two and a half, whatever it is. What season are they in now?
Two.
Three. Okay, then that's where I'm confused. So I didn't see. So I saw the first part of the first season, then they took a break, and I saw some of the next season or some of that last half.
Okay.
All right. So anyway, so I do have some catching up to do. But I went into it understanding that it was a complete reimagining of the Batman story.
Oh no, that's fine. I'm not even getting into the Batman aspect of it or the. It's there's not one character that grabs us yet.
Well, you want to talk about Christopher Nolan trying to fit too much in. What about in the first 3 episodes, the Riddler works at for the police.
Yeah.
Catwoman, the 16-year-old girl.
It's all set
and
up.
And then Penguin, like, they're rushing it. Like, you could space that out over time. No, it's all character development.
Well, no, because this season is all about the villains. Like, that's their whole thing, is all the villains of Gotham come together.
Are you spoiling anything?
No, this is how they've been announcing it, is it's the time of the villains.
Yeah, exactly.
I've heard the...
Yeah, that word.
So wait, I gotta ask Jimmy before we change subjects, though. What are your thoughts on Christopher Nolan?
Here's the thing. I like what he did with Batman. I like the movies. And as a Batman movie, The Dark Knight Rises is still a good movie. I just don't think it should have been above Dark Knight. It grossed more than Dark Knight.
You know why?
But it was a bad movie.
Yeah.
It really was. It was, should not have been where it was, and that's why it made it on my list.
Well, if you notice, a lot of times it's the last film in a series that does get the most grossing.
You had
numbers.
Heath Ledger's death. You had the opening night shootings. You had a lot. Mm-hmm.
You had a lot going around
that.
I understand that. I just thought it was a bad, like, it could have been so much better. What he did in Batman Begins and Dark Knight, it was brilliant. And then to me, it felt like he dropped the ball with Dark Knight Rises. It was kind of like, you know, I'm tired of this, and let's just get this over with. That's what it felt like.
Well, maybe the death of Heath Ledger did take a toll.
And that's a very good possibility, yeah. And that's a very good possibility.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a very good possibility.
But I'm saying is, like, you know, after that, to go into the last film,
yeah,
you know, with that hanging over your head, it might have had some sort of impact on his direction or the script. Or
I just think there was a lot more they could have done with it. They could have picked a better villain.
Like, I don't know anything I'm talking about.
They could have picked a better villain. They could have had a better script, and the way that they ended it could have been better. But
I think we should have a new rule that you cannot talk bad about Christopher Nolan on the undercard.
Why?
Because I think he's that good.
Mm. He's good, and I love everything.
Nobody
that
is
he does.
Above reproach.
Exactly.
Inception's weak.
Inception is unique. That's why it didn't make it on the list.
It's unique.
So was Memento, which he did.
Right.
Because
Memento is a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I like Memento.
Yeah.
So we must move on subjects, though, really quick. That was cool.
The weirdest thing about Memento is when you watch it backwards, you're watching it forward.
That is true.
Right.
It's so weird. You rewind it and
I
watch
only
it.
Watched it once, and I don't think I could ever watch it again.
Yeah. Did it hurt your brain?
No, I don't know. At the end of it, I was just like, oh, okay.
I think Christopher Nolan's amazing.
He is.
I think he's like...
And as I said, I have no disparaging
there's
for
no
anything
filmmaker
that he has
like
done.
Him right now.
There's nothing... And that's and I think that's why I was so critical of Dark Knight Rises, was because I expected so much more of him, and he let me down. At least that's for me.
Wow.
You think you could have done better?
No.
Exactly.
Exactly. But I don't claim to be Christopher Nolan.
Well, you'd be a fool to do that.
Right. You said we're moving on. I do want to have to say this, because this was something that we were going to talk about on the show. So there was a news story that came out about a guy that basically took a drug for AIDS victims. The drug actually isn't a drug to help reduce or prevent AIDS. It was actually a drug used for AIDS patients and other people with immune deficiency because it helped relieve toxoplasmosis.
Too much information. Dude bought the rights to this drug. At the time, it was $13, and he hiked it up to $750.
Right, yeah, okay.
What has happened now?
What has happened now? He's actually, because of pressure, and this is a breaking news story, because of pressure, he's actually rolled it back now. It's back to $13.50 a pill. So,
because he's an asshole.
He is an asshole. And the thing was, he's also, despite this retraction, the embattled pharma CEO's worries are far from over. He's still being sued for $65 million by the company he founded in 2011, Retrofin, for shady business dealings, essentially aimed to make the company assets his own private bank.
Yeah.
So
asshole of the week.
Well, he was the asshole. He still is the asshole of the week, but at least he's taken it back down. It was a 5,000-something percent markup?
5,500% markup.
Yeah. So it's actually gone back down to its original price. So I did have to say that because that was breaking news.
Its original price was like $1.20.
Right.
And it has actually, it's changed, the rights to it have changed hands like several times in the last several years. And each time it's gone up a little bit.
Right.
But, like,
but he took it from $1,350 to $750. I mean, that was ridiculous.
The second asshole of the week has to be the mom that jumped out of the car with her 9-year old.
Because
of a spider being in the car.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's like, she's already getting so much attention for it. Just people need to leave her alone.
Wait, okay, her kid in the car.
No.
Listen, like, I know that her kid was in the car, but, like, she's already getting criticized for it already. Like,
I hope she loses
first
the
of all,
for the rest
first
of,
of all, if there is a spider on your shoulder and you are driving in a car, you know what you do? You reach over with your other hand and you squash the spider.
But it was going
you are 2,000% bigger or more than that. Than the spider.
It's
There's
also,
no reason to be afraid of a spider.
It's just a spider.
Exactly. Even if it's a wolf spider, it's not that big. You can crush it with your hand.
Some people are scared.
We actually don't have deadly spiders in Michigan, if I'm not mistaken, right?
We have zero deadly spiders in Michigan.
Was she in Michigan?
No, she was out of state. But,
either way,
it was not
just,
it was not in an area where there's
poisonous
spiders. Doesn't
matter. There's not enough phobia that would get you to jump out of a car like that, in my mind. So she gets the second.
So here's the thing. So there were no 9-year-olds in the car, but my wife actually did attempt to jump out of a moving car once.
Because of a spider?
Because of a spider, yeah. Wow. She opened the door. And I grabbed her. I was like, "You sit down." Like I seriously.
I can understand. Like if you see a spider or like a bee or something like that, like pulling off like where you're driving and getting out. I can see that, but you don't jump out of a moving vehicle because of a spider.
Like it's like going so fast, like
it doesn't matter.
Not, like speeding, and she just like jumped out.
Are you defending the woman who jumped out of
a
car because of a spider?
Wait.
How fast?
Now let's go through the actual story.
It doesn't matter.
So the mom jumped out of the car because of the spider. Left her 9-year old in the car as it was rolling down the driveway. The 9-year old. Realizing this is not cool, he's going to roll in the street, jumps into the front seat to try to stop it. He's 9, so of course he doesn't know how to drive a car, accidentally hits the accelerator and backs into a school bus.
Full of nuns.
No, it wasn't full of anybody.
And orphans.
It wasn't full of anybody. But that is reckless endangerment of a child.
The kid's the one that hit the bus. He's
but it doesn't matter. She jumped out of the car.
He should get the ticket. That's all I'm saying.
I don't think he can if he's 9.
Points before you even get your license.
Absolutely right.
We're coming up on our last few minutes. First off, XICW, October 3rd.
Yes.
It's their 200th event. Not only that, it's a best of show. Yep. So it's going to be absolutely pandemonium.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about it all next week. XICW. I'm sure we'll have some of the wrestlers on too. So that'll be a lot of fun. Also, Joseph Donofrio will be in studio next week.
Awesome.
The Fight Boss will be here. So that'll be pretty good stuff. So also the Pope is in Washington, D.C.
I'm anxious
to see this is
see how many
stuff.
Conservatives say that he's wrong. Supposed Christian conservatives say, you know what?
Not Catholic Christians.
Well, Catholic, Christian.
There was a great meme I saw earlier today that was like, it was something to the effect. Actually, you know what? I believe I shared it up. I'll just pull it right up for you. It said.
I mean, it was something about the Pope and the religious right.
It said,
right
brace
and,
yourself. Yeah. The religious right is about to attack the Pope for putting the teachings of Christ above the teachings of capitalism.
There yep.
And
yep.
It's absolutely right.
It's 100% right.
I'm not Catholic. I love this Pope.
He's
awesome.
It is the third time a Pope has been to the White House, so I'm sure something will spark our interest, and we'll talk about it next week. It is big news. It's big world news.
Yeah.
And
I love this Pope.
I'm excited.
Yeah. I found out it was
a lot of people do.
I like his Pope mobile.
It's a little Fiat.
Yeah.
It's so cute.
I thought it was a Jeep.
I don't know what
what he's in while he's here. He's in a little Fiat. I didn't realize. I mean, it makes sense, but like he doesn't like stay at a hotel and stuff. Like he stays at a church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like across from the vice president.
Yeah.
I think
is cool.
If I remember correctly, Pope John Paul II stayed with Cardinal who was the cardinal at the time when he was here
Richland?
In Hamtramck. No.
What?
It's going to bother
cardinal
me
Richland.
Now. But no, I mean they typically will hit some churches and stuff like that. I wish he was coming to Detroit.
In Hamtramck. Brad makes it sounds like the Pope's like on a club night. He's like hit some churches.
No, he hits as many churches in the area as he can.
Yeah. Well,
he's like, what up, people?
father in the hizzy.
The Jets Pizza and Joseph Campbell and Hamtramck has an entire shrine to Pope John Paul II when he visited.
It was big news.
Yeah, when he visited that particular Jets Pizza.
I was really hoping you were going to say they have a pizza in the shape of the Pope. Oh, that would have been awesome.
That you can only get at Holy Jesus.
All right, so we're going to call it a day because the corner with K-Hub is back on the network, so we got a bolt. Follow us next week, podcastdetroit.com. I want to thank Anthony Barnes for sitting in. You're always welcome, buddy. Be here next Tuesday.
Thank you.
I want to thank Liz being the ring girl, Rochelle for working the board, and I'm going to not call her anything but
Jessica.
I don't remember.
No, yeah, I don't Jessica. No, thank you very much, Jessica, for working the board. Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Marv. And we'll be back next week.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.